The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're totally scamming the system.
This is the TRT Community Podcast, where we discuss all things testosterone.
Appreciate y'all picking up the slack when I was away from the microphone.
No problem. We were just
silently drumming on nothing.
We were air drumming.
Not saying hello, everyone.
I was riding that
hi-hat. I placed fourth in the DFW air guitar competition last year.
Eric, what happened to you? Is that a real thing? Where'd you go?
Who moved it? When you readjusted the camera.
Zoom out.
Sorry, folks.
What happened? Zoom out. It's comical how you're not in the, oh, there you are. Yeah,
nailed it. I love that you like. It's been a while now since I've
just adjusting the frame. But
I love that you sit in that chair backwards.
Yeah, I wish this was a little lower because I tell you what, when I eat in this chair backwards, my arm starts to fall asleep and getting cut off here. You know, but
our very own Zach Morris.
Very own Zach Morris. I don't know why
these need another cushion. These need recushioning because I'm sitting pretty low.
Do they?
Yeah, I don't.
This table's tall. You sure it's not just a deception?
Is this a 30-inch?
This is a custom-made height.
Standard 30-inch?
Don't know.
It's not. Brandon Church original.
It's probably a 36.
Oh, okay.
Wait, yeah, did you make this?
I sure did. I didn't make the top. I just screwed the pipe legs on a pre-existing top that I ordered off of Wayfair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I had to fit, you know, I screwed the little brackets in underneath the little pipe threaded.
It's handsome.
Yeah. Still has the stickers on these pipes. So I need to paint the legs, but I thought it was going to be a perfect podcast height, but it turns out it's just an awkward deal.
Cool.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
We're meeting with Kenny.
Kenny.
As soon as he joins the
Kenneth
group.
Marple.
It's Kenny.
So, oh, yeah. Ken or Kenny.
We went over it. I think it's pretty sure it's Kenny.
I'm still kind of confused on what it's supposed to be.
Okay. So, totally off topic, but in another episode, weeks and weeks ago, when we were talking about like updates and things like that, when we did that conversation weeks ago, wink, wink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2 weeks in the future when we did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. When we're going to have that conversation later.
Whenever it was.
Yeah.
Whenever it is.
So one of my buddies, he and his wife are also pregnant. They're a week ahead of us. He said he has done this. Have you heard of the Chinese pregnancy calendar?
No way.
Okay. So, he is 100% convinced that it is always accurate. He's like, I've done it for all my family. It's right. I've done it for my first daughter. It was right for her. I've done it for my second. They confirmed with the blood test. It's accurate. He's convinced that I'm having a boy based on what this says. I literally just did it for Ian, and it was right.
Whoa.
It was right.
Almost like it's 50-50.
What, they're only wrong half of the time.
What is the count? What does that entail? What are you looking? What is it taking into consideration?
Two things: your date of birth, so wife, date of birth, and due date.
Okay,
that's it.
And then 50%.
You say that? Coin flip. I haven't found one that's wrong though.
What you're saying right now reminds me of being in junior high, middle school. For those of you that. Kenny's here. And no. And you flip a quarter. The first person to flip, if it lands on heads, the next person flips. And if they match heads, they get both quarters. If they hit tails, the first person gets both quarters. And all the kids were like, no. If you start it on tails, it's going to land on heads. You got to make sure. It's like, guys, this is a literal coin flip. Literally. 50%.
I don't buy it. He's done it.
So do it for me. We'll go with my ex-wife's birthday and see if it can guess that we had a girl child.
Okay. We're going to do it live on air.
Next week.
Eric's on his phone.
Okay. So what was
Faye?
Whose birthday?
Yeah, let's go Faye.
Faye's birthday?
Yes. What was her due date?
Due date.
Oh, I don't know. September 11th.
2001. Rest in peace.
That was an induced date. Does that count? Am I skewing your...
Oh, no.
Pre-induction due date.
It's not going to let me go backwards.
Because it couldn't possibly know.
It's not going to go backwards.
It couldn't possibly know.
Never mind. We're not going to do it.
Failed.
There he is.
Connecting to audio.
3, 2, 1.
Kenny.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hello, hello.
How's your Florida sunny Saturday?
It's horrible down here. It's about 78. It's pretty bad.
Man, it sounds awful.
How about you guys up there?
Good.
A little overcast. Not bad, though.
Yeah.
We're doing good. Spring is here.
Spring is here.
A lot better than a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure.
Oh, man. That was...
We were going through it.
Life-changing.
It was... Never been through anything like that. It was unbelievable.
On a total side note, so I'm in a Facebook group for my HOA, and so our city gave a 2,000-gallon credit for all the water that we had to use. So yesterday, somebody says, hey, so I got a bill, and we were supposed to get this 2,000-gallon credit, and my bill looked about the same number as it was as usual. And all these people are like, oh, well, maybe you didn't get the – or maybe it's going to be for next month and this, that, and the other. And I said, if you used about 2,000 gallons extra and you got a 2,000-gallon credit, reason would stand to say that your bill would be about the same as usual, right?
What were they expecting?
Swear some.
So this is Eric, Kenny. I don't know if you've met him officially.
And no, hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. Eric, I'm in the group.
Yeah, he's in the group, longtime friend, and he was also just trying to bullshit me into believing that the Chinese can predict what kind of baby you're going to have.
Have you heard about that? The Chinese baby predictor?
No, not specifically in those words. There's a lot of different methods to predict, try to predict, but... No, never the Chinese baby predictor.
Well, Eric and the Chinese claim that with the date of birth of the mother and the due date of the child, that they can 100% accurately predict the sex of the baby.
That's pretty scientific.
It worked for me. It worked for me. Yeah.
Well, we have confirmation. So, I mean, at that point, we probably need to go into
phase 2. It needs to be a published study.
We need to publish this. Yeah.
It's a great pitch because you got a 50-50.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
So we've got a friend, Rachel, that will say it's 50-50 shot. It wants a 50-50 shot on everything, even if it's nowhere near a 50-50 shot. She's always like, well, 50-50. No, Rachel, that's not how statistics work. This is 1%. 1%. Anyway, Kenny, you are the founder of Matrix Hormones. You've come on the podcast with us several times, and we always get to ask you fun questions, and you get to give us great answers. And today's no different. We've got some group TRT community Facebook group questions for you. You prepared? Okay. You ready for this?
Yes, sir. I'm going to try.
All right. Question number one. Is a low dose of aspirin beneficial to TRT patients?
Yes, it can, because most patients that are on TRT struggle with donating blood or frequent dilations or therapeutic phlebotomy draw scripts. And I try to talk to a lot of my guys too. Let's just say you always ran upper 14s, low 15s on hemoglobin, you know, hematocrits 42 to 44, and then you jump up to about 49 or 50 on hematocrit and say 17 on hemoglobin. That's still right within normal, but for you, it might change the way you feel. You could get more headaches, more pressure, and different things like that that happens. I always like to look, if I'm getting somebody new on treatment, I try to tell them to donate blood up front to try to keep their levels kind of where they've always naturally been. Now, granted, there's guys who change and even go high and don't get any symptoms, but low dose aspirin can help with that. I always tell people you can talk to your primary about it, but a lot of primaries do recommend it for avoiding heart attacks. And, you know, there's big research that came out with COVID because it thinnens your blood and different organs during COVID. So definitely, you know, always speak to your primary to get some other information, because if they're dealing with other medications or treatment you're getting. But yes, it can be beneficial. so you're not fighting that constant blood donation.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is an off-the-cuff question of my own. So I donated blood in January, something I try to do regularly, and I got my first headache yesterday or the day before. So my first reaction was to look at the schedule and get me in to donate again. I remembered that I donated double reds, and I have to wait longer. Is donating double reds, is that more beneficial, less beneficial than whole blood? Is it something you recommend or not?
So double reds can bring down the hematocrit a little more, but you have to wait 4 months instead of 2 months. You know, somebody can give an argument going either way with that. But for me, I think being able to donate more often is better. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have people who tell me because, you know, when you do the double reds, it's a three pull system. They pull, they separate, they put it in a saline or IV banana bag and put some back in you. So what they're doing is it can make you feel better afterwards with the double red. But I think long term, doing it every couple of months, standard donations is better than every four double red.
So if you can do standard twice as often, double reds is not twice as beneficial. So it's probably just better to go with regular.
Yeah. Makes and sense. I think you're an example of that, because now if you feel like you're getting symptoms, what do you do?
I got to wait until May.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get a phlebotomy draw script that we can provide. The problem with that, depending what city and state you're in, not all blood banks take them. Like I can tell you, Red Cross stopped taking them about a year and a half ago, and then they actually block you from donating blood. So for some patients, they get stuck, you know, having to drive 100 miles or to pay for the donations and things like that. Here in Florida, we have one blood and they're all over the place and they take them, but it just depends on your city and state.
I don't think that it actually was my hematocrit. I don't get headaches often, but every time I do, it makes me panic and I want to look at the donation schedule. But I think this was just a sinus thing. I haven't had one since, so I don't think it'll be a problem waiting until May.
If it was hematocrit, it probably would have been on and off or continuing or slowly to getting worse over time.
Yeah, and when I get them because of the hematocrit, it's every single day, and they become debilitating almost. Like I have to take, for some reason, and maybe you can tell me why, but some reason the only thing that seems to help is taking an Alka-Seltzer cold and sinus tablet. That works, but nothing else, like Excedrin, doesn't do it.
You know, as you know, your blood is getting thicker. Everything is harder to push around. You know, a little more pressure on the blood vessels of the brain, but also sinus cavities all in your face and around your brain. So open up those sinus cavities. Sometimes it's the pressure putting it more on the sinus cavity. When we think we have a headache, it's like, okay, it's a headache. It's something in our brain, but it can come from our sinuses also. So sometimes that can help relieve some of the pressure it could be causing on the sinuses.
Okay.
I actually gave blood for the first time, like within the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. I was sitting there and I felt like I could feel pressure in my like ankles and like calves and things like that reducing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy.
Is that the biggest needle you've ever seen inside of you?
Didn't look at it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't look at it either. I gave blood. Yeah.
It's so big.
No, thanks.
But I'll tell you this. I was done in less than 10 minutes.
Really?
Done in less than 10 minutes.
Same.
I was sitting there watching Impractical Jokers, so I was laughing. So I think that might have helped.
Yeah.
He said I had really good flow.
Okay.
And I felt... Yeah, I felt amazing after.
It was like their version of a stuffed animal for you. Like.
So double reds took between 45 and 60 minutes to do double reds, which was a long time to have a giant needle in my arm.
Yeah, but that's a hard pass for me.
Yeah. Doing that. All right, next question. Is there a relationship between HCG dose and response regarding reversal of atrophy? Will adding more HCG help, or is there a maximum dose which above that no longer benefits atrophy?
That's a great question. Most of the time, if somebody's coming to me and saying, look, I got some atrophy, I'll tell them to start on an HCG dose of maximum 0.30 four times a week. If you talk to some doctors, more is better. Hey, let me give you 2000 IU and up and up and up. But there has been research out there, and my personal experiences and a lot of clinicals with patients is it starts to overload the receptor. You're really going to get less effect from it. for me, I think a safe cutoff is 0.30 four times weekly. And that's a pretty good amount to do and usually can help with that. No matter what amount you do, and everybody's different on this, sometimes once you get that atrophy, you can't reverse it. Guys are like, oh, I'll just take HCG in 6 months and poof, they'll be back. It doesn't work like that most of the time. Yeah. You're stopping it. You might get them a little fuller, but you're normally not going to see back where they were before.
Eric said that HCG makes his testicles the size of limes.
Kumquats.
Kumquats.
Well, I don't know where he started at, so that's okay.
Did you start with lime balls?
I've been a ball guy. I can't say I'm all ball.
All right, next question. Oh, this is a question from Eric. Is Brandon a good patient?
Yes, Brandon is a good patient. And I have to say that because HIPAA compliance allows me not to say anything else.
Brandon is the type of patient that got an email a month ago that it's time to do my labs and I'm just now doing them on Monday morning. But schedules have been crazy. So yeah.
You did get married.
Hey, my schedule, my appointment's on Monday morning, Ken. You'll have those results soon.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Next question. Would you ever recommend HCG? Why is everyone asked, like HCG,
the
everyone has
topic.
HCG questions. Yeah. Would you ever recommend HCG monotherapy? If so, what would make someone a candidate?
Yeah, you can recommend it and try that for a monotherapy. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. The biggest factor is the younger you are, the more successful is usually going to be somebody in their 20s, early 30s. When you're looking at the lab work, you do have to look at the LH, which is the luteinizing hormone, which is the releasing hormone, to see where that's at. If that's already on the top side, well, I have no room to really move to stimulate you more. If it's on the bottom side, that gives us more room to move and more testosterone to make. And then lastly, you have to look at the testosterone. Somebody walks in with a testosterone of 150, and you're trying to get them into optimal zones of 800 to 1,000, that's a long way to go. With that being said, there's some men who say, well, you know, the odds are not good, but I want to stay away from testosterone for whatever reason right now. Let's try it. My oldest patient's about 68. He gets values around 700 on it. That's not the norm, but for him, it works. Now, I will say HCG by itself is not as effective as mixing it with a little bit of Clomid. When you do HCG with a little Clomid, you kind of usually will get almost twice the benefits. I know some people say, well, Clomid comes with side effects. Well, so does testosterone. So does HCG. Everything comes with side effects. The big thing when you read a lot of side effects, whether it's anastrozole or Clomid, you have to look at the research on the amounts they use. When a lot of these research came back with Clomid, it was for using fertility, which can be upwards of 100 milligrams a day. Compared to taking, you know, a quarter of a milligram 2 to 4 times a week. Big difference. So in my experience, mixing HCG and Clomid is the best if you're trying to use releasing hormones to get the highest numbers. But it does depend on those lab values. The big stopper there is if you looked at your lab values and the LH was on the over the 60 or 70% or the top side, you're going to have, you know, very little success rate on stimulating yourself more to get more.
Makes sense. Do you remember where you were?
No, I don't. Not at all. It's
good
been a
talk.
While.
Good talk. Okay.
I've been off it for a good several months now, thankfully. I mean.
So he goes on to say, my clinic started me at 150 milligrams a week 3 months ago, and I feel awful, but my blood work looks normal, although my total test is a bit high, 1300. Free is normal at 26. How can you tell if your dose of testosterone cypionate is too high? I'm also taking 500 units of HCG twice a week.
How much do they have him on testosterone?
150 a week.
And what is his top number?
1300.
Okay. The first question I always ask is how many days after your injection did you get your lab values? If that's 6 or 7 days, I'd be like, wow. If that was the next day, not so much. Right. So that's one thing you have to evaluate there. With patients, everybody thinks higher is better. That's not true. There's some patients that get to 700 and their free is high, so they're using all of it and they feel great. And when they start going higher, all they do is convert more and start to have issues. You know, there's some research out there and different things. But once again, I think I always drive you guys crazy with this. We're always unique. We're unique. We're different. And you have to try different things. I would definitely probably lower that dosing some, maybe up the 8 CG a little bit. But everybody also hones in on testosterone. You know, when males have low testosterone, there's a good chance they can have low DHEA. There's also a good chance taking the testosterone can lower the DHEA. So there's all these variables you have to look at. If a guy's numbers seem like they're perfect on testosterone, you have to start looking all the other things. It depends on their symptoms, but everything from DHEA to prolactin, you know, cortisols, thyroid, all the primary things. Once you check off all of these things and some of the more prominent kind of vitamins and things like that, B12, vitamin D, there's some crucial ones. When you check all of these boxes off, you really, the first thing I do is refer a patient to get a sleep study to see if they have sleep apnea. Because we just went through everything. There's nothing left to look at. If it's all perfect, look for sleep apnea. That comes back negative, then you got to start looking at some different autoimmunes and some exotic disorders that could be causing something.
Yeah. That's why I love Kenny. And so that's why I treat with Matrix, because, you know, you say that each patient is individual and that you treat each patient individually. I think a lot of clinics say that, but they don't.
They say that, but they don't treat that.
Right. Yeah. They have these cookie cutter protocols. I don't know how many hours a week you work, Ken, but I can't imagine it's few. Like I imagine you just running all over the place, talking with everybody, spending an hour on the phone with each patient
he's got a and making sure he just puts the numbers in and it spits back.
I have a good crew. I put a lot of notes. To be honest with you, my wife saw me running through the house right before this, trying to move the dogs off me because I was at my desk and I'm so tired. I was actually falling asleep and realized, oh my God, the podcast. to do this. But me and my staff put a lot of hours in. We're trying to make some changes to make that easier and more efficient. Don't get me wrong. There's certain patients that a certain method works for majorities of patients or groups of patients. But, you know, there's some things you have to change for certain patients. There's some things you just have to dig deeper and look at. And there's a lot of clinics, I believe, it's, you know, well, your testosterone is fine. Your free is fine. That's it. Well, yeah. What about all of those other numbers that come into play?
Yeah. Eric's one of those cruisers. I mean, you got on testosterone first protocol worked for you and you just kind of cruised there and there wasn't a whole lot to change until it was time to conceive a baby, right? Mm-hmm. Me, not so much. I got on and my free wasn't going up. My total was still troughing at, you know, 350, 450 in that range. And yeah. It took a lot of work to get me better than that. And now Ken has taken on the responsibility of optimizing me and I'm sure he's going to end up spending countless hours on me.
Do you ever remember that show, House?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to call him, see if he's available. I got a patient, Brandon, here. So
the guy was a jerk.
Yeah, he was. I loved him. But
I wish that focus box. But he walked
with like a limp and a cane, so you couldn't really be that mad
right. I wish that focus box wasn't on my face. I don't know what's happening with that.
Yeah, I've been seeing that. I don't know if it's like a target or.
Not to get too technical, but this Canon camera doesn't allow for a clean HDMI output, so I'm stuck with that red recording dot up there and focus box. Apparently, this is my last.
At least I can see you and Eric. Ian is behind a pole.
Oh yeah, so.
There he is.
Hi.
I almost bought two more cameras last night and a switcher. So I'd be here, you know, switching. Okay, here's Eric's camera. Here's Ian's camera. Here's my camera. Each time somebody speaks, I'm having to push a button. But I thought it's hard enough for me to keep up with this and my phone. I'm never going to be able to
do
that.
And then the editing on the back end.
Well, no, it does it on the fly.
Oh, okay.
So like, you know, an overall camera for all three of us. And then, oh, Ian's speaking. Here's Ian's camera. And it's like a close-up of you. And that's how it records it.
Gotcha.
Which would be time-saving.
Wow.
Last question, then we'll let you take your afternoon nap. What are your strategies for treating men with very low SHBG?
So very low SHBG, it's kind of, you got to look at some of the other factors. Is the testosterone low, or is he saying my testosterone is high and my SHBG is still low, which is very rare to see, or it's minor. It's off minorly because when you take testosterone does suppress SHBG, but you usually convert estrogen, which raises it. I'm not overly concerned about SHBD being slightly low, because that just more means more free testosterone, which means you need to take your total, not as much. So you're taking less testosterone. You don't have to push it as much and things like that. Really, I've never ran into a situation where it's that low that it's an overall issue. I haven't seen it, really read about it. But I'm not too overly concerned about it. A lot of people chase SHBG. I tell them if a test doesn't have SHBG, I could care less, because it's the free testosterone. You know, somebody can have an SHBG on the higher end and the free testosterone still be high. And then, you know, vice versa. Once again, we're all different. The way it's supposed to work, SHBG is high. It's a binding protein. The free is supposed to be low. It doesn't always work that way. So as long as I can see the free testosterone, I'm going to treat it the same way. Whether I see your SHBG or not, which, yes, some of those things will lower SHBG.
Like it. Okay. Very good. And cool. Those guys, if you do know the SHBG, isn't that the guy that's going to benefit the most from the microdosing?
Yeah, microdosing is works best across the board, whether it's daily or, you know, 3-4 times a week. Daily is the best, but we all get burnt out. And some people want it close as about 4 times a week. It also affects dosing, because, you know, some guys need higher dosings of testosterone. So even if you were doing it 4 times a week, when that amount you're taking each time, if you're taking 0.35, 0.40, you're kind of now doing away with the benefits of it. You have to break it down over 7 days to make it. But that's very rare. Somebody needs those higher dosings. I would say, you know, 90% of the men, anywhere from about 125 milligrams to 200 milligrams covers them.
Very good.
Nice.
Y'all got any other questions for Kenny?
No? Good?
No? No? All right. Have a fun nap. We appreciate you being on the show.
I wish I was. I said I was falling asleep at my desk. That's where I'm going to go back to. Well, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's always great talking to you.
Yep. We'll see you soon.
See ya.
Take care.
What a nice guy.
Wow. I can see why you like him.
Yeah. He's real nice.
Though I will say, the thing I appreciated about him is that, unlike Dr. Paul, he wasn't trying to flex on us.
I still liked him.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Dr. Great. Paul was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's showing all my stuff, but surely there's something up there that shouldn't be seen by the millions.
The Red by Chevelle.
Oh, that's me. It's me singing that song.
Are we still recording?
Yeah. We're...
Yes! Not bad.
Sound like Maynard James Keenan in a bathtub.
Oh, wait, is this you playing it?
It's me doing all the instruments and singing the... That's enough of that. It's me doing all of it, yeah.
Were you doing that in GarageBand, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. GarageBand, yeah.
Drums, bass, guitar, multiple vocal tracks, and channeling my inner Maynard James Keenan from Tool to, it's me.
That's impressive.
Thanks, man.
I didn't know you were capable of
like. I liked it.
Podcast host and singer.
Whoops.
Misfire.
Thank you for listening to the TRT Community Podcast. You can find us online at facebook.com/groups/TRT Community.